We're so glad you have come to join us in worshiping our awesome God this morning. And I want to welcome those who are traveling. We're so glad to have you back with us. And once again, we want to welcome the Youth Nashville Short-Term Mission Team for coming back. Can you stand up and show us where you are? Wonderful. Thank you. We are very, very proud of you. Thank you. And we also want to welcome our missionaries, Jonathan, Robin, Jaden. They're back from Asia, and they will be with us for a little bit. Let's welcome them back. They are expecting their second child in June, and so I want to encourage you guys to remember to pray for them in your prayers. And also next Sunday, right after the worship service, you will be able to interact with them more in the Ruth Fellowship over lunch. And so I want to encourage you guys to be there, and so you can find out more and express your care for them. So welcome back. I have two adorable girls. Janet is almost four. And Joni is just over two. Now, Janet loves to be the big sister and teach and show Joni what to do. And Joni just adores Janet, and she loves to learn from her and by following her and by imitating her. If Janet gets up, then Joni gets up. If Janet goes to bed, then Joni goes to bed. If Janet needs to go to the restroom, Joni will follow her into the restroom and sit on her little toilet. So Joni sings when Janet is singing. Joni jumps when Janet is jumping. Joni rides when Janet is riding. You know, she really is copying her in every way. Now, when Joni gets something wrong, though, Janet would love to tell her what is the right thing, and she would show her how to do it. One day, something happened between the two of them, and so Janet said sorry to Joni. Now, Joni is learning how to say complete sentences now, okay? And so after she hears sorry from Janet, she says, okay. Now, Janet told her, it's not okay. Say, it's okay. Now, Janet doesn't know a whole lot because she is still very young. And she still has a lot to learn. And so I've noticed that lately she has been learning about numbers in her school. So one day I asked Janet, now what is 1 + 1? And she thought about it. And then I can hear her begin to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then she tells me it's 11. You see, even though Janet's knowledge is very limited, but she still knows way more than Joni does. And so she has a lot to offer Joni, actually. Now, this relationship and interaction between my two girls really reminds me of discipleship, a relationship where a more experienced follower of Jesus Christ teaches a less experienced follower of Jesus Christ. And the less experienced follower of Jesus Christ learns from this more experienced follower of Jesus Christ. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the Great Commission is related to our church vision. I want to ask you guys, do you guys remember what is the vision of our church? Good, nice tries. Okay, the vision of our church is to make mature individual, build strong family, and impact community. Because we believe The purpose of our church is to help everyone who comes to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. We're convinced that God puts our church here so that we can build up every family in our midst, so that we will be healthy and strong in the Lord. And we're convinced that, you know, God has entrusted us with so much. And so we are to mobilize the resources that God has entrusted to us to make an impact in our local and global community for the glory of God. And we also talk about how the Great Commission really is our strategy to accomplish our mission. Now, the Great Commission is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I want to invite you to read this passage together with me. Ready? Let us read. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, let me ask you, what exactly is Jesus asking us to do in the Great Commission? And what exactly is involved? What does Jesus want us to do, and how are we supposed to do it? Does anyone want to give it a shot? Wow. You nailed it. Okay, but for the rest of you, all right, let me help you by using this example. Look at this sentence right here. "Each Sunday we worship God together, singing, praying, and learning from the scriptures." Now let me ask you, what is the main action, the main verb in this sentence? It's worship, right? Very good. All right, you all got it. Now, according to this sentence, though, what exactly is involved when we worship? Very good, right? It's singing, praying, and learning from the scriptures, right? Now, these three words in the English language are known as the participles. They possess both the characteristics of verb and adjective. And so they give us more information on what the main verb really talks about. Okay, and you can tell that these three words, they share one thing in common. Do you guys know what is that? Exactly, right? They all end with the ending ing. Now, so with this in mind, okay, with this example in mind, let's go back to look at the Great Commission one more time. So tell me, what is the main command here from Jesus Christ, and what exactly is involved? Okay, I hear go make disciples. And what exactly is involved? All right, good. So you're all on the right track. You are all on the right track. Very good. So the main action here commanded by Jesus Christ is to make disciples. Now, the participles here are a little bit tricky, all right? You see two of them translated with the ending ing, but one of them is not. So in the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the word go is actually a participle, all right? So we have going, baptizing, and teaching, and these three participles give us more information on what Jesus had in mind when he says to make disciples. And so Jesus commanded us to make disciples, and we know from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, that involves three components, as indicated by the three participles. The first component is from the first participle, going. We are to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Anywhere God sends us, our responsibility is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to tell people the truth that we have sinned, and because of our sins, we are destined to go to hell. And we are to share with them the good news that out of his love for us, that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And so if we repent and trust in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. So instead of going to hell for our sins, we will spend eternity with God in heaven. And so Jesus commands all of his disciples to go and share this good news about him. Now, some of us may be called to do so in full-time Christian ministries, such as Christian workers, missionaries, or pastors. But all of us are called to do this with our families and friends, in our schools, in our workplaces, or in our neighborhoods. Now, the second component is from the second participle, baptizing. So here we are instructed to bring people into the kingdom of God as symbolized by baptism. So through baptism, a person expresses his or her faith in accepting Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and commitment to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of his or her life. And in the New Testament, we read from the Bible that people who believe in Jesus Christ, they usually get baptized immediately after they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a demonstration of their faith by obeying Jesus' command to get baptized. And so by getting baptized, a person professes his or her faith in a very public manner. Now, the third component is from the third participle, teaching. And so through both instruction and modeling, we are to help new Christians learn how to obey Jesus in all areas of life. So just like Janet teaches Joni, now while Janet still has much to learn, but she can be a wonderful big sister and a good role model for Joni already. So that's really what discipleship is. The Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted each and every one of us who claim to believe him with this privilege and responsibility. And this is God's strategy for growing and maturing his people, the church. Now, I want to elaborate on this process in another way. So every day, Jesus sends us to go as his representatives to our families, to our schools, to our workplaces. And in these places, very often we will encounter non-disciples, people who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ, as represented by this circle, right, where Jesus is outside of this person's life. This person has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And the lifestyle is under the authority of self. This person does whatever he feels like or whatever she wants to do. Now, as we meet these non-disciples, God uses us to invite them into his kingdom. And so as we establish relationships with them, as we share with them the good news of how their sins can be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, some of them will actually trust Jesus to be their Savior, as represented by this second circle. As you see now, Christ is part of their life. However, we don't stop there, because according to the Great Commission, our goal is to help the new Christians become mature Christians. And so once again here, God uses us to care for them and to teach them how to obey him in every area of our life. And so the third circle here represents a mature Christian where one learns to submit oneself under the authority of Jesus and surrender to his guidance. And so those of us who have been Christians longer, we are to help those who are new to Christianity. Like big brothers and sisters, we are to show them how to live the Christian life. And so this process from a non-disciple to a new disciple and eventually to a mature disciple, this is what the Bible calls discipleship. And I want to encourage you to think about your life this way. Every morning when you get up, God is sending you as his representative. Whether in your family, in your work, in your school, or even when you go out to the gym, anywhere you're going, God is sending you out as his representative, where you will meet people who have never heard of Jesus Christ or people who don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every day you have the opportunity to meet people like that. And not only that, every day God is giving you the opportunity to share with these people, to invite them to trust Jesus Christ, so that they will become new disciples. And every day, God is giving us the opportunity to help another Christian brother or sister so that we can build up their faith so that they can become mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're wondering, you know, what is the purpose of your life, can I encourage you to think about your life this way? Next morning when you wake up, remember, God says, hey, I'm sending you out as my representative. I'm going to bring people who don't know me into your life. And I want you to get to know them. I want you to care for them. And when the opportunity comes, tell them about who I am. And for those people who already know me, I want to use you this day to build up their faith. Now, when I try to think about my life this way, I get kind of excited. Wow, I wonder who is God going to introduce to me today? Now, I wonder who can I tell about Jesus Christ today? I wonder who can I build up today? Now, that's an exciting life. Now, let us look at how a new disciple becomes a mature disciple. Right? How does a new Christian grow in spiritual maturity? What exactly is involved in this process? Now, last year I shared with you the cycle of knowing God, trusting God, and obeying God. And the idea here is that the more we know about God as we study from the Bible, the better we will be able to trust Him. And the better we trust God, the more we will be able to obey God. And the more we obey Him, we will actually know Him better, because now our knowledge of God is not only some kind of intellectual awareness, because now we actually experience God in our lives. So this knowledge now has turned into real life experience. And so you see how this cycle works? The more you know God, the more you will trust Him, the more you will trust Him, the more you will obey Him, and that will lead to more knowledge of God. And so, this is the pathway to spiritual maturity. This is how discipleship helps us to grow. Right? As we come together to study for the purpose of knowing God from His Word, we encourage one another to trust God, and we hold each other accountable to obey God. And so we are constantly in this cycle. Unfortunately, though, when Christians have no desire to learn from the Word of God, when the church does not faithfully teach the Word of God, Christians can become ignorant of this process. So instead of being actively involved in discipleship and growing to spiritual maturity, we become apathetic and complacent and passive in our spiritual growth. So instead of feeding on God's word and grow in our knowledge of God, we actually lack the knowledge of God. And because of that, we don't know God that well. And because we don't know God very well, we will have a hard time trusting Him, because we really don't know if God knows the best. And we're not sure if He really has our best interest in mind. And you see, when you think this way about God, it's going to be very hard for you to obey Him. And the problem is, the less you obey him, the less you will experience him. And therefore, everything you know about God remains your head knowledge, because you have never experienced it to be true. And you see, as a result, this would actually lead you to doubt God from time to time. And see, when you're stuck in this cycle, I call this the path to spiritual immaturity, you will not grow in your relationship with God. Now, we may claim to have a relationship with God, but the fact is that this relationship with God is not making any difference in our lives. We remain unsure about who God is, what he is like, and how he can help us. So let me ask you this morning, which path are you on? Are you on the path to spiritual maturity, or are you on the path to spiritual immaturity? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible instructs us to examine our faith. Would you read this verse together with me, please? Ready? Let us read. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? See, the Bible here instructs us that we are to constantly check ourselves to make sure that we have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ that is making a difference in our lives. Now, unfortunately, there are people who think that as long as they can go to heaven, they really don't mind being spiritually immature. Do you know people like that? You know, hey, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven anyway. Why do I need to grow as a Christian? Why bother? And so these people are very content with struggling with sins. Okay, they're okay if their faith in Jesus Christ is not making any difference in their life. Now look at what James says about a faith that does not make any difference. In James chapter 1, verse 22, and chapter 2, verses 14 and 17, the Bible says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead." You see, the Bible makes it very clear here, don't deceive yourselves. If we don't obey God, if our faith does not result in life transformation, that is not faith at all. So don't think that attending church regularly and serving occasionally will get you to heaven. The Bible here says that unless your faith results in growing obedience to God, you have no faith at all. And so if you find yourself on the path to spiritual immaturity, if you are not growing as a Christian, if you are not getting to know God better, if you are not trusting God more, if you have no desire to obey God whatsoever, the Bible says, be careful and watch out. Perhaps you lack the knowledge of God, you lack trust in God, you lack obedience to God. It is because instead of being an immature disciple, the fact is that you are a non-disciple. Maybe that is why there is no change in your life. Maybe instead on the path to spiritual immaturity, you are in reality on the path to fake spirituality. You know, there are a lot of people like that in the church. They look like Christians, okay, because they attend church. They participate in what we would consider to be religious activities. They can talk like Christians because they've been in the church long enough. They've heard the pastor preach enough times, and they picked up on these Christian language, right, all the terminologies that we use as Christians. But you see, a lot of these people, once they're outside of church, you can't tell the difference between them and the non-Christians. Okay, you look at their values and their worldview. You look at their behaviors and their lifestyle. They're exactly like the non-Christians. Okay, so they fake their spirituality when they're in the church. And then when outside of church, they're back to their real selves. So why is that? Well, the Bible says, well, maybe you were never saved to begin with. That is why there is no change in their life. But you see, a lot of people today think that is just fine. They think that, hey, if I have a little bit of religion in my life, if I have a little bit of church in my life, if I have a little bit of Jesus in my life, then that will make me good enough to go to heaven. My friends, if you think this way, the Bible says, watch out. Don't deceive yourselves. Now, spiritual growth takes intentionality and effort. And that is why the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Would you read this passage together with me, please? Ready? Let us read. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So is your faith growing? Are you adding to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? If you are, then you can be sure that your faith is real and that you can be certain of your salvation. But if not, I guarantee you that from time to time, you are going to doubt your salvation and you will have a lot of problems with your faith, especially when you encounter difficulties and trials in your life. Once again, spiritual growth through discipleship requires intentionality and consistent effort over time. Now, earlier we read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice how Paul charges Timothy to do discipleship in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Paul was writing to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." You see, here Paul says that, look, it takes courage and perseverance to do discipleship. And here Paul reminds Timothy what discipleship is. Whatever he has learned from him, he needs to pass it on to others. And who will pass it on to others? And you see, for 2,000 years, Christianity has been passed down generation from generation to us. Because in the past 2,000 years, in every generation, there were people who possessed genuine faith in Jesus Christ and took the Great Commission seriously. And today, the baton has been passed into our hands. You see, just like Paul discipled Timothy, and Timothy discipled reliable men, and they went on to disciple others. The challenge for us today is that who in our generation will be the faithful men and women who will obey God's call to do discipleship and carry on the Great Commission? Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, Paul uses three illustrations to describe for us what discipleship demands and what spiritual growth requires. The first illustration Paul uses is that of a soldier. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." Paul here is saying that Following Jesus demands focus. Spiritual growth, becoming like Jesus Christ, requires self-denial. Just like a good soldier needs to endure hardship to please his commanding officer. And we too must stay focused on pleasing our Lord Jesus Christ and learn how to deny ourselves. If we do not do that, we will not grow spiritually. Now, the second illustration Paul uses is that of an athlete. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Where the Bible says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. So you see, following Jesus demands discipline. Spiritual growth requires effort. Okay, just like an athlete in competition needs to exercise discipline and effort in following all of the rules if he wants to win the race. For us, it is the same thing. Okay, we must learn to follow all of God's rules if we want to obey God. Now, this is not going to be easy. This will take a lot of discipline and effort. But once again, if we don't do it, we will not grow spiritually. Now, finally, Paul uses the illustration of a farmer. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And so following Jesus demands hard work and patience, just like a farmer. After he does everything that he is supposed to do, he can only wait patiently for the harvest to come. And the Bible here tells us for us, if we want to grow spiritually, it is the same thing. It is hard work. But if we put in the hard work and we invest the time, then we can expect a harvest to come. And so to help you grow spiritually, 2 weeks ago we started to tell you that we are doing life-on-life discipleship in our church. So Elder Ken, Elder Leonard, and myself, we will lead 3 small groups. And these groups will meet on a regular basis over a specified duration for the purpose of keeping each other accountable in our desire and effort to grow in our spiritual walk. Now, you have a flyer in your insert. Okay, on the first side, you can read what exactly is it and what is involved and how this works. But on the back page, you see some testimonies from people who have gone through this. And so once again, as your spiritual leaders, we realize this is our responsibility to shepherd you and help you grow in your relationship with God. And so we want to be intentional about doing this. And that is why we are inviting you to join us. Now, we will be using a workbook, Experiencing God, by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Cloud King. This is published by Lifeway Press in 2007. Okay, if you search online, you're going to see a lot of other books with the same title and very possibly by the same author, but it's by a different publisher and it's not a workbook. Okay, so make sure if you want to join us, get a copy of this book. It's Lifeway Press from 2007. If you get it from Lifeway Christian Store directly, it's $14.95. But I think if you do Amazon or others, it's more. I think this is one of the rare occasions where Amazon cannot give you a better price. Now, we also realize that spiritual growth takes a lot more than just a few months. But this is the start of our commitment to be intentional about building you up. So once again, I want to encourage you, if you are thinking of doing something like this, if you've always wanted to grow spiritually but you don't know how, this is your opportunity. contact Elder Ken or Louisa. They're coming back hopefully by the end of this month. Or contact Elder Leonard and Christina. Or you can contact me. And the way this works is that once we have the group, we will decide among each group when is the best time for the group to meet and how often can we realistically meet. Okay, so if you were to come up to me and ask me, so when are you guys meeting? I cannot tell you. I will tell you that once our group is formed, we will decide that among the group. Okay? So once again, if you have any questions, please do let me know. And I want to thank those of you who have already asked me questions. So once again, this is our invitation to you. So I want to encourage you to join us, and let's be intentional about growing our relationship with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, because in your word, you describe for us the path to spiritual maturity and how we can grow through discipleship. I pray that none of us will be apathetic or complacent about our relationship with you. Give us the desire and the discipline to take intentional actions toward our spiritual growth. I pray that our participation in the Great Commission will be our expression of our faith and our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.